This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in this time of worship. And it's my joy to welcome all of you. Whether you're here for the very first time or the 500th time, we are grateful to be together. I'd like to invite each one of you to take a moment and register your attendance with us. There are registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary, and you can pass those down and sign in that way. Or there's a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan, and that will take you to places where you can register and share prayer concerns and make an offering for the day and so forth. So you can do that digitally. And if you're worshiping with us online, there's a link you can place in your browser to register with us that way. If you have a bulletin in front of you, you can see there are lots of announcements and lots of wonderful things happening in the life of the church. And I just want to highlight a few of the things that are coming up really quickly. This is a Mental Health Awareness Month, and so next Saturday, the 18th, you're invited to participate in a walk with NAMI, which is the National Association for Mental Illness. It will be down at Sound Stadium. There's information in the bulletin about how to register. Then here on the Sunday afternoon, the 19th, at 4 o'clock, our own Dr. Tammy Lewis-Wilborn, who's been with us this year, will lead a Mental Health 101 seminar up in the theater. On Sunday of next week, we also have several gatherings for youth parents, acolyte training, service of Teze worship. So please be sure and look at all of those opportunities and times and places for those. And then we want to begin to prepare you and remind you that we are trying out a new summer schedule beginning on Memorial Day Sunday, May 26th, through the month of July. We will have one worship service at 10 a.m., Sunday school at 9 a.m., and throughout the summer, we'll have several opportunities for fellowship and gathering during the 11 o'clock hour. So that will start May 26th. On June 2nd, we'll have our first fellowship opportunity. We're going to have a potluck and volunteer expo. So information about that is in your bulletin. You can sign up, let us know what kind of dish that you're bringing, and it's going to be a lot of fun, a good old-fashioned church potluck. We're looking forward to it very much. Finally, I was so sad to miss being with you last Sunday. I was at Furman University celebrating my son's graduation, but I know there was a lot of celebration about General Conference and lots of questions probably yet to be processed. So our own Shannon Baxter has put together a one-page summary of some of the major decisions that were made at General Conference. They're available in the narthex and just outside this Reed Hall door. And then just mark your calendars for July 7th after General Conference and annual conference seasons are over. We'll have a town hall meeting during the Sunday school hour at 9 o'clock that day for more information and question and answer. And of course, all of us, your pastors, as well as Tom Lee and Derek Weber and others who were there, are happy at any time to meet over coffee and talk through some of the things that took place at General Conference. This is a holy day in the life of the church. It's called Ascension Day, a day when we remember the story of Jesus ascending into heaven and sending forth his disciples to continue his ministry. So as we prepare to hear that story, as we prepare to gather around the table for Holy Communion, let us open our hearts and minds to this time together.
Thank you. me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Today we celebrate the promise of God's presence with us.
Receiving the bread and the cup allows us to experience God's grace.
Lord, prepare our hearts that we will be a changed people today. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the assurance and confidence of God's children. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord.
And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence.
Hear this good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and peace in Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Sweet.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Acts 1, 1-11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children who are here in the sanctuary and those of you who are joining us over live stream Because it's Communion Sunday, the railing's closed, so you got to go around this way. Come around this way. Or over, you can do that too. Let's go this way. Walk around, come join me up here. Good to see everybody. Good to see everybody. I'm going to put on a special hat while y'all are making your way here. You can tell me if you know what kind of hat this is. What is it, Jack? It's a graduation hat. That's exactly right. Do you all know anybody who's graduating from high school or college or kindergarten or any of those things? Yeah, graduation is a really fun and exciting moment. Yeah. And I remember when I graduated, you walk across the stage and you get your piece of paper and then you go, doop, and that means I'm a graduate. It's kind of fun. There's something about a graduation. We take everything that we've learned, all that our teachers have taught us, and everything we've learned, and now graduation says, okay, now I'm ready to move on to what's next. Sometimes that means more school. Maybe it means going to first grade, or sometimes it means going to college, or sometimes it means even going somewhere beyond college, like law school or medical school or something like that. But we take what we've learned, and we start using what we've learned. We just heard a story about Jesus' last moments with his disciples. He had been raised from the dead. We celebrated that on Easter. And he spent some time with them after that, just teaching them and giving them some final instructions. And then he said, okay, it's time for me to go back up to heaven. It's time for you to graduate and use what you have learned from me to change the world for God's love. So it's kind of like a graduation for the disciples. And it teaches us that we're supposed to carry on the things that Jesus did. We're supposed to love people like he did and do the best we can to bring about God's love in the world. The good thing is, he's always with us, right in our hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this story about the disciples and how Jesus was getting them ready to go out in the world and do the things that he did. We thank you that he reminded them that he would always, always be with them. He's with us too in our hearts. So help us to take everything we learn in church and learn from our parents about God's love and share it with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church. With, is that Mr. Dykeman there? Yeah, and Pastor Will. And the rest can go back and sit with parents. Well, as I said earlier, there was a part of me that was really sad not to be with you last week, especially because we confirmed 12 young people, and the service of confirmation is one of my favorites, and it's such an important moment in the spiritual journey of our young people. So I was really sorry not to be here for that, and also to be among you as we processed and celebrated and thought through the things that happened at General Conference. But it was my day to be a mom, as my oldest child, Tate, got his college diploma. There's something about watching your child walk across the stage, and they didn't hold his diploma, they let him have it, and he crosses into this new season of life. And according to Tate, he's done with school. He doesn't have plans to go on to graduate school or law school or whatever, and so his formal education has come to an end. And as his parents, we are at this moment where we realize we have done our best to pour into him, to provide for him the best education, to have that family foundation, all those family dinners and times around the table, raising him in the church and Sunday school and youth group and teaching him about the faith and surrounding him with a loving faith community. And of course, we'll always be his parents and we'll always be there to support and coach if he asks us to, but it's time for him to launch, to take all that he has learned and to live into the fullness of the wonderful person God has created him to be. And our role is different now. In Tuesday morning Bible study, there was someone who made a connection between this moment of Jesus' ascension and a graduation. That Jesus has spent 3 years with these disciples. The word disciple actually is related to the word for student. They've been his students for all of these years, following him in his footsteps, listening to his teachings, pondering his parables, bearing witness to the miracles and the healings and those moments when he confronted the religious authorities. He even engaged them in the work. He sent them out two by two a few times to go out and do the same kinds of healing and teaching and casting out of demons that he did. But he continued to keep them close, to coach them, to guide them. They had been there when he was arrested. Though they scattered into the night, they came back together and saw him resurrected from the dead. And Luke tells us in these opening verses of Acts, by the way, if Acts is volume 2 of Luke's gospel. So Luke is our author of both of these texts. And Luke tells us that Jesus, after his resurrection, spent 40 days among his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God, Luke says, eating with them. There's a word there that says while he was staying with them, he was teaching them, but the word is almost better translated eating. So he's breaking bread with them, spending time at the dinner table with them, preparing them for their graduation. And then the day comes, and he takes them out to the mountaintop, and he issues his final words, and then there's one last question. Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I can just picture that faceplant emoji. Jesus thinking, wow, all of this time, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. I've been spending my time with you as the resurrected Lord. And your main question is, are you going to make Israel great again? Are you going to restore our earthly power in the world? Are you going to bring us a king? Are you going to kick out Rome? Are you going to answer our prayers? Are you going to fulfill our plans? Are you going to do the thing that we've been wanting you to do? And it's like they've missed the point again. Throughout his ministry, they have not always gotten it. They've been expecting a different kind of Messiah, and one would hope that when they get to this moment that his disciples would get it. But they don't quite get it yet, even in this moment. But Jesus, ever the patient, persistent teacher, redirects their question and reminds them of what's next. He says, it's not for you to know the time and the place when these things will happen, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, there are lots of ways to look at this little exchange between Jesus and his disciples, but what arises up for me in this moment is this emphasis on who's doing the work. The disciples ask, when are you going to fix it, Jesus? When are you going to answer our prayers, Jesus? And he says, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. I can feel the disciples in this moment. I recognize myself in their question. How many times do I want God to just come down and fix things? God, when are you going to heal my friend? God, when are you going to restore and reconcile this relationship? God, when are you going to get my friend a job? God, when are you going to end hunger and poverty? God, when are you going to bring an end to the wars in Israel and Gaza and Ukraine? And when are you going to fix all that? When are you going to answer my prayers, God? I understand where the disciples are coming from. But here Jesus is saying to them, you are the answer to that prayer. In just a matter of days, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The same Spirit that has been in me, Jesus says, will empower you, and you will be my witnesses. He's been saying this all along throughout his ministry. Earlier in Luke's gospel, he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. In John's gospel, as he's preparing to leave them, he says, as Will mentioned last week, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And you will do the same kinds of things that I do. In fact, he says to them, you will do greater things than these. But let's be clear, it's not because we do them. It's not Jesus saying, well, good luck, y'all go on, I'm out. No, Jesus is saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will do these things. We can't fall off on the other side and think we have to fix everything, or that we can fix everything, or that it's all on us to do it. No, what Jesus is teaching his disciples is what he says to them in John's gospel. I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you stay close to me, abide in my love, my power will fill you and you will be my witnesses. And so as Christ's disciples who gather today, our work is to be open to the Holy Spirit to work through us. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that you have everything you need to be a witness to Christ in the world? There's nothing that you lack. You have everything you need to be who God calls you to be. Our liturgy proclaims it. Every time we have a baptism, we pray, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. We proclaimed it at confirmation last week. May the Holy Spirit work within you to confirm your faith and live within you to become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. We proclaim that we believe the Holy Spirit can work within us to change the world. And so our task is to fan the flames of the Spirit through prayer, through worship, through reading of the Scriptures, through practicing love among each other and out in the world, reaching out to the people to whom Jesus would have us reach out, being generous with our lives, with our possessions. All of those practices help fan the flames of the Holy Spirit within us. But we don't always feel it. It's true. There are times when I can feel the Holy Spirit just burning within me, and times when I feel as dry as a desert. And maybe you do too. We can believe in our minds that the Holy Spirit is within us from our baptism, but it's hard sometimes to feel it. And that's okay. And it's pretty normal, I think. And even so, we can find inspiration in this story about the disciples after Jesus' ascension. Because there was a time, there was a gap between when Jesus ascended and when the Holy Spirit came upon them in a fresh way. Jesus told them, stay in Jerusalem and wait. Stay together and wait. Pray and wait. And we can do that too. If we're not feeling the presence of God in our lives, if we're not feeling the Holy Spirit, we can still come together and gather with God's people. We can still come and worship and be surrounded by the love and support of others. We can keep praying and waiting and keep loving and serving and doing all of the things that we know God calls us to do. And we can keep coming to the family dinner table, as we will do today. Because somehow in the breaking of the bread, it is the body of Christ. And in the drinking of the cup, it is the blood of Christ. And somehow the life that animated Jesus comes into us at the table, and he is with us. And it is enough. And you are enough. Thanks be to God.
In your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come into our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with our pastoral team to pray for throughout this week, please fill out the link under Contact Us if you're on our website, or if you're here in the sanctuary with us, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. Place those in the offering plate as they come around. I ask you to look in your bulletin and take note of the prayer requests that are listed there, and ask you to keep these names and situations on your heart throughout the week. And as we pray this day, we have a couple of things to celebrate. We celebrate with Thomas Brownlee White's family. He was born April 23rd to Lee and Alexandra White. He is welcomed also by his grandmother, India Weber, his uncle and aunt, Webb White and Leah London, and his cousin, Jack White. We also have the birth of Anne Elizabeth Martin, who was born on May 1st to Virginia Ann Ivy Martin and Tom Martin in Dallas, Texas. Annie is welcomed also by her grandmother, Christy Ivy, her aunt and uncle, Lee and Jack Hicks, and great aunt and uncle, Melora and Davis Turner. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of renewal, we thank you that as you continue to surprise your disciples, you also surprise us with your presence. We are grateful that you draw us out of the darkest places and give us grace to rise into newness in you. For our friends and loved ones who feel that darkness in a very particular way and find themselves in the anguish of grief, anxiety, or fear, we pray that you would grant them your love and comfort. For those among us that are sitting on the highest of highs, celebrating milestones, the end of the school year, birth, and new life, we pray that you would sustain them with your joy. And for all of us who find ourselves somewhere in between, we pray that your grace would be anew to us today. And on this Mother's Day, we recognize the beauty and the complexity of the day. And we come to you and give thanks for the gift of motherhood in all of its diverse forms. We honor all the mothers among us today, for our own mothers, for those who are living and those who have died, for the mothers who have loved us, and for those who've fallen short of loving us fully. For all who hope to be mothers someday, and for those whose hope to have children have been frustrated. For all mothers who have lost children, for all women and men who have mothered us in any way, for those who have been our substitute mothers, and for those of us who have stood in the gap for so many in need. We give thanks to you, God, for all of them. In the name of you, who is our great and loving mother. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the rows. You can also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of love, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves anew in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. And now we listen with new ears as we hear this prayer that God would pour out God's Holy Spirit on all of us who are gathered and on these gifts of bread and the cup. O Lord, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Confidence of the children of God, would you join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love, that we might know life. And this is the cup of grace. As we receive it, the life and light of Christ comes into our bodies and our lives. The table is now set, and our host is Jesus Christ himself. And everyone who is here and everyone who is not here is welcome at this table. You do not have to be a United Methodist or a member of this church or anything at all except yourself, and you have a place at the table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, I'll share just a few words of instruction with you. Our friends in the choir will be served first, followed by those of you in the transepts and balcony, and then the rest of us in the center are invited to come and make our way forward. Don't be shy, just any space that is open at the altar rails, you are welcome to come and kneel there. If you'll have your hands open, that will help our servers to know that you have yet to be served. All of our elements are gluten-free, and today we are trying cups that are compostable, to try and do our part to take care of the earth. The plastic cups that we've used for many years aren't biodegradable, so we're going to give this a try and see how it goes today. But no matter the container, what is inside is life. So as you come forward, we invite you to consider making a second offering today. Our communion offering will go to Raise the Roof, which we'll hear a little bit more about next week. This is a ministry in rural Uganda. I've had a chance to visit the school that they have built, develops high-quality education centers, provides community health programs, and creates income-generating opportunities for that community. So look forward to hearing more about it next week. But if you feel led to make that gift, the offering plates are in the aisle as you come forward. Now let us open our hearts, our minds, our lives to receive the Holy Spirit afresh today in this family meal. join with me in giving thanks for this family dinner, this holy meal that has filled us with life. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Now, through the love of God, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to go forth from this time and be Christ's witnesses in the world. So let us take this time to throw our imaginary graduation caps in the air and go forth to love and serve with joy. Amen.